Time caught us in the first session, and so we will resume as we try to complete this passage in 1 John 2, verses 5 through 17. Before beginning, we will pause a moment for silent prayer, and you may use the time for rebound if necessary. Let's pray. And now, Father, as we continue our study, it is our prayer that the Holy Spirit will enlighten us. And we lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. We were talking about will in our passage here. And will is described as a purpose to God. The second half of the verse reads, but the one who continues to execute the divine purpose and will of God. I had a number of conversations at halftime about people taking seriously what I had spoken about in the first half, because they are on the verge of having a gathering about a week from now, and they have attested to me, straight-faced, that there are some characters in their family that tend to cause problems every year, and said that maybe today's Bible class would be helpful for them. Good luck with that. Anyhow, it's good to go out at least with a good attitude before the play begins. Will is described as a purpose to God, and we have done a bit of work on this particular word. We generally find it having several categories of application, but the will of God refers back to the divine decree. There's nothing that happens in human history that is not in the decree and fully understood by God in eternity past. He has provided us information whereby we can, through His will, His knowledge in the Word of God, under the power of the Holy Spirit, be able to produce some very positive results among the engagements we encounter from time to time. And so the verse ends with a phrase, keep on residing forever. The verb keeps on residing is the present active indicative of the verb minnow. The present tense is static, indicating a condition that perpetually exists. The active voice refers to the believer who, by maintaining his spiritual momentum, continues residing inside the bubble all the way to spiritual maturity. And therefore, I always emphasize the word process. Growing in grace and being a good Christian, someone who has a significant historical impact, is someone who stays with the program all the way to spiritual maturity. There's never a day you take off from this task and duty. And therefore, the more struggles you encounter are there by the divine decree so you can learn how to apply what you know. And the mistakes you make in the process are simply a learning curve for better efforts in the future. And so we have the active voice referring to the believer who, by maintaining his spiritual momentum, continues residing inside the bubble all the way to maturity. The indicative mood certifies this as a fact in the plan of God, and those who pursue truth and continue that process will accrue rewards in time and in eternity. We've done the rewards, and we'll do so more on that subject as we complete our studies on Thursday evening. The verse is completed by the noun ion, which means forever. The second half of the verse reads, but the one who continues to execute the divine purpose and will of God keeps on residing forever. And so the word forever, ion, makes reference to the resurrection body. The context of 1 John 2, 5 through 17 implies two categories of resurrection bodies. Now this is interesting because everybody winds up with a resurrection body. I'll give you probably by the end of the week the description of the resurrection body as we're able to discern it from Scripture. Jesus Christ had a resurrection body, and when he was resurrected, there were certain attributes associated with that physical body that identify for us how our resurrection body will be and some of its assets. You're going to find them quite interesting. But if you believe Scripture, and the Scripture's complicit in its insistence that our resurrection body will be just like his, then you're going to be extremely pleased with how things are going to play out for us in the end. Some people get ill in this life. They have diseases. They have certain breakdown of the body in certain places, like maybe my back, things of that nature that plague people as they get older. Well, we're all dying. When you had that first breath when you were born, you started the process of dying. You're not going to get out of this alive unless the rapture occurs. So let's pull for that. Ha ha. Those are cowards, and that these are chickens that can't take it here. They want a free pass out of here so they don't have to go to Christmases anymore. See, you're a coward. I don't want to stay here and have to suffer this any longer. Wham. I think Mark Besser, is he in here? See Mark Besser. He's got a checklist on how people solve problems today. It's really quite complete. I think it's well thought out, but cannot be repeated from the pulpit. You read it. Yeah, amen to that. This verse ends with the phrase, keeps on residing forever. And so all that is going to bring us down to this category of believers who, number one, keep loving the cosmic system so that the love of the Father is not in them. Okay? These are believers now. And so that's in verse 15. And secondly, the arrogant disposition of life in verse 16. Another category is for the one who continues to execute the divine purpose and will of God, keeps on residing forever. And so this is going to be the people who are able to go to the Paradise Club, people who have all sorts of imputations of escrow blessings to them, their body, the things they wear, the things they do. It's going to be top-notch for those individuals. So if you're plugging away and think, this is not really worth it, and man, is it boring, then you're going to find out if you stick with this, stay with the process, that the eternal future, which doesn't end, is going to be a lot better. There's going to be a lot of retrospection in the eternal state as people think back on the times that they didn't choose to, first of all, believe in Christ. That's one category. And others that did but did not make the advance. Some people don't get promoted in life. They start out maybe at the very bottom, and they're not very interested in anything but getting off of work that day and going and doing what they want to do. I want to be off, and when can I get off, and how much longer do I have to stay? That attitude's not going to produce much. But they get paid, and they have to learn to live on that income. They have no interest in advancing. They don't like the authorities above them. The supervisor is a bad man, and so on it goes. Without orienting and adjusting to what the supervisor has to do every day. And that's keep him in line. And so do you therefore wonder why he has a bad attitude toward you? Because you cause him a problem every day. There are people upstairs screaming at him, when are you going to get rid of this guy? So he's keeping you alive structurally for the moment. And so that's the issue that faces many. Well, this means there are two categories of resurrection bodies. Let's take a look at this. I don't know if I'll get to it today. I guess I won't. But I've got a rundown, probably on a Wednesday, of the resurrection body and how we know what it's going to be like. But let's take a look at this. The will of God is executed in two ways. First of all, unbelievers do the will of God by directing their personal faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. Okay? That's how an unbeliever gets the guarantee of a resurrection body that will function in heaven, not the lake of fire. Secondly, believers do the will of God by loving one another, by expressing unconditional love. Now we can go to 1 John 3, verse 23. Listen to this. This is His commandment. So that's an imperative mood. God is commanding us to do something. Now, you're going to buck this system or not? I haven't finished, but just make up your mind. Am I going to go by this or not? It's almost Christmas. That we believe in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. Good so far? And that we produce the act of loving each other just as He commanded us. Oh. I talk to people at halftime that have a problem with that last phrase there. They have a problem with it. And I'm telling you, look, it's all about mental attitude. It's not hugging and smooching and kissing and shaking hands and all of this business. It's about getting your mind right. Get your mind right. Number two, faith in Christ guarantees that the believer will live forever with God in resurrection body. Here it is. Escrow blessings are distributed to the mature believer. I think I gave you a rundown on that in the first session. Here it is right here. It's what I've been wanting to tell you today. Characteristics of the resurrection body. Now, everybody here, I assume, has believed in Christ for salvation. This is what you're going to wind up with. And it doesn't matter. You can believe in Christ and never crack the scripture once. But you have eternal life and you go to heaven when you die. And here's what your body will be like. Even though you'll be stripped naked, you won't have anything. But you will have a body. We get this, and you're encouraged by this, I can tell. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him. Okay? That's brief, but to the point. That's 1 John 3:2. Now, here are 8 points on how your body is going to be, how it will function. Number one, it does not appear unusual. We know this from Luke 24:13 through 32. Also, John 20:11 through 16. You know, you can go to these passages, please do. And when you do, you'll see that Jesus Christ was not recognized in His resurrection body by some. Secondly, it can vanish from sight. That's a good thing to have at a family reunion. Just that's Luke 24:31. Number three, it can move through barriers. That's an escape hatch anywhere you need it. And that's Matthew 27:65 and 66 compared with Matthew 28:5-6. Also, John 20:19 and verse 26. Number four, this one is a little bit shaky from my standpoint because I don't know how to evaluate this one, but it retains stigmata. Stigmata refer to the wounds in our Lord's wrists and His feet and His side. And He was able to display that to Thomas, who didn't believe He was who He was. And so that's true for Jesus Christ, at least. And that's noted in Luke 24:39-40, John 20, verses 20 and 27. And so if you have gashes on your body, like I've got a hole in my head, will it always be with me for eternity? I don't know about believers in human bodies, minus being the Messiah, but that remains to be seen. So I'm not solid on that one. Number five, it is made of flesh and bones, Luke 24:39. Six, it is capable of taking in food. That's Luke 24:41-43 and John 21:15. Number seven, it can move through interstellar space at warp speed. I looked up the word warp, and it's in the dictionary, and it means really fast. And note it's Luke 24:51, not Luke Skywalker, but Luke the Apostle of 24:51, Acts 1:9. And then number eight, it is imperishable and immortal. And we know that from 1 Corinthians 15:54 compared to Philippians 3:21. Now, you all ought to be encouraged for that. That's like a Christmas present if you haven't heard this before. And don't, suicide is not permitted. You can't say, oh, I want that right now. No, that would not work. That's only an interim body. You got to wait until the real thing comes, and that's got a timing process on it. You have to wait for the rapture, and that may be thousands of years away. Who knows? Next Tuesday would be good, but 1,000 years may be something that would give you clarity of thought. Now, the believer who consistently produces divine good through inculcation and application of the Word inside the bubble will advance to spiritual maturity. And that's where you're preparing your soul for eternity in that particular context. Now, since the cosmic systems will pass away, a believer's involvement in the cosmic systems cannot produce anything that is eternal. And that is a good principle to know. Your involvement in the cosmic systems may be something that occurs presently. But when you're out of this life into a resurrection body and in the eternal state, nothing like the sins and the lust patterns that you have to battle in this life in a human body, Homo sapiens, that's going to go away. And so that's something to look forward to. Believers who spend their spiritual lives in the cosmic systems have eternal life, but are disqualified to receive the transfer of their escrow blessings to their resurrection bodies. The resurrection bodies of believers who log maximum time inside the divine power system while advancing to the sophisticated spiritual life will be adorned in certain Nike awards. First of all, the crown of life. Secondly, the uniform of glory. Thirdly, the order of the morning star. and 4, a personal coat of arms. Here's a breakdown on this. Nike awards of Revelation 2 and 3. This is a part of the eternal panoply that you will enjoy. Revelation 2:7, you'll have the privilege to eat from the tree of life and have membership in the Paradise Club. The word paradise is used there and is exclusive for just a few, those who made it all the way to spiritual maturity. And so you're able to eat from the tree of life. Now, you really need to have something to boost your life when it's eternal. No, this is talking about a benefit, a pleasure, an accoutrement that others would not enjoy. Revelation 2:10, the crown of life. Revelation 2:17, a new name of aristocracy. You can be given a new name like a title, you see. Revelation 2, verses 26 through 28, you'll have rulership authority over a nation in the millennial theocracy and investiture into the royal order of the morning star. So this is privilege here. Revelation 3:5, presentation of a uniform of glory, permanent listing of a new title of peerage in the book of life, and presentation at court to the Father by Jesus Christ. Revelation 3:12, achievements in the angelic conflict listed on a stela in the temple, a grant of a coat of arms, and eternal entree into the New Jerusalem. Revelation 3:21, appointment to the General Assembly of the true United Nations in the theocracies of the millennium and the new earth. Now, those are things that the advanced believer will acquire as a part of the evaluation tribunal. These are the things that will occur before Jesus Christ at that evaluation. And these are the things that will be imputed to those who advance to spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is an intimidating concept, I think, because you've got to advance to a level where you'll, for example, a Ph.D. in theology. Well, that's not necessarily the case. That's for guys down at Dallas Seminary and others like it. They've got to have Ph.D.s in order to write articles and so on and teach in seminary. You're not asked to be a teacher. You're asked to be someone who acquires a functional, advanced knowledge of biblical concepts in 11 categories so you can think and make good decisions in your personal lives. And therefore, giving it a go, consistent in what you do, is how you get there. The Holy Spirit will get you there. The Word of God is powerful enough to get you there. All you have to do is say, I want to know more. And when you do that, these are the kind of awards that have already been imputed to you in eternity past, but will not be conveyed unless you make the advance. You'll be able to go to, let's call a museum in heaven, make that up, and you can see Fred Jones is my name. And after salvation, I never cracked the book of the Bible and never went to a Bible class, but I was saved and I have eternal life, and I can go see what kind of awards I would have had if I had made the advance. And you can take your grandchildren there and say, look here, little Fred and Alice, look at what I could have had. And of course, they're standing around with all of these things on them. And he's standing there naked saying, look at this. I'm sure there's some kind of covering. Don't misunderstand me. But naked with regard to this. You don't have any of these. Let's look at one more. I won't go through this, but there are 13 paragraphs and 6 categories of the Nike Awards. And there's the categories are apparel, what you wear, or what's affixed to your uniform, crown of life and uniform of glory, insignia of office, the order of the morning star, and a coat of arms, an office, rulership over Gentile nations. You'll have rank, new rank of aristocracy, privilege, access to the tree of life, presentation at court. Look, how many people over the history of the church age have advanced to spiritual maturity and will be presented to the Father by Christ? Do you qualify? You say, well, that'll take a long time. Well, eternity, you can fit it into eternity. Sitting with Christ on His throne, you'll have honors, member of the Paradise Club, inscription of a new title in the Book of Life, achievements engraved on a stela in the temple, and entree into the New Jerusalem. And that's just some overview of what's available to the believer in Jesus Christ who simply does the duty of moving forward on a consistent basis, taking in the Word, adjusting their inventory of ideas to line up with the Word of God, making decisions from that inventory. That's the power that is behind it all. So our Nikes include eating from the tree of life, as well as others we've noted, the resurrection bodies of believers who spend the majority of their time on earth functioning in the cosmic systems will reflect the absence of their escrow blessings. So although you're there for all eternity, you got nothing to show for the laziness and disinterest that you exhibited during time. Therefore, the believer who makes the advance to spiritual maturity will have a resurrection body superior and decorated. Superior and decorated. Now, believers who spend their earthly life entangled in the two cosmic systems will have a resurrection body that is inferior. But it will last for all eternity. The first clause of 1 John 2:17 describes the life of the believer spent in the throes of the cosmic systems. At the evaluation tribunal of Christ, his appraisal will be revealed as human good and evil, depicted as wood, hay, and stubble. When ignited, his worldly production will be consumed by flames. One of my favorite visuals. I did that myself. I found this explosion. I think it's nuclear. Just to warn you that if you don't make the advance, you can set off one heck of a fire here. The evaluation tribunal of Christ, judgment of works by fire, it says. Well, you see, it may not be fire. That just may be a way of explaining to us the kind of trouble you can cause at an otherwise family reunion. Royal family reunion. So this is the kind of thing that you can create here. And it, you know, it's quite impressive the kind of explosions that we can create right here on earth. And you have to have like nuclear weapons of some kind, atom bombs or hydrogen bombs. That's what it takes down here. But then when you get at the evaluation tribunal, just who you are can set off this explosion. Do you want to blind everybody that's there? You can't be blinded in a resurrection body. But nevertheless, there's a loud boom that's going to go on, and people are going to turn their heads and look and says, I never knew. I had no idea. The second clause of 1 John 2:17 indicates the one who continues to execute the divine purpose and will of God keeps on residing forever. And so the clause also refers to the evaluation tribunal of Christ. Mature believers will also have their production of divine good examined by the fires of testing. So divine good is certified by the endurance of gold, silver, and precious stones that will endure the fires. It results in conveyance of certain Nike awards to the resurrection body. So in addition, the conclusion of verse 17 is amplified later in 1 John 2:25. This is the promise which he himself promised us, namely, eternal life. And so the three doctrines that are mentioned in verses 15 through 17 are resurrection, rapture, and the evaluation tribunal. And the three we've noted in 1 John. The principle that emerges is spoken by our Lord Jesus in Luke 12:48. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. Now, this is great tragedy associated with the believer in Jesus Christ who fails to advance in the plan of God during his earthly life. We're now to the point of where we can have an expanded translation of what we've noted in 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. Stop the persistent behavior of loving the allurements of the cosmic systems or the abundant distractions associated with the cosmos. If, and it is a likely prospect, that's the third class condition, anyone keeps on loving the cosmos, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the cosmic systems, the temptations of the sin nature's agent provocateur, the lust associated with recall of visual images, and the arrogant disposition of life is not from the Father, but from the cosmic systems. Cosmos diabolicus is passing away. Its time is measured. And also, its lust patterns. But anyone who fulfills the purpose of the will of God, that's divine good production, keeps on residing forever in the eternal state. Now, all human viewpoint, human good and evil are temporary. So get that out of your mind now. You won't be able to do what you want to do in heaven anymore, because you'll be pure resurrection body, pure soul, no sin, no lust pattern, no agent provocateur. All of that's over. You got to take on the task of seeing if you can bring it under control while you're here. See, in heaven you can't sin. The volition doesn't function that way. Sin comes from the sin nature and its agent provocateur called temptations. And the volition has nothing to respond to negatively while in a resurrection body. So get your sinning done here. There's not going to be any sinning in heaven. And that's, for some of you, is a wonderful prospect. All human viewpoint, human good and evil, are temporary and will be destroyed. Divine viewpoint, divine good, and application of doctrine resides forever. Now, this expanded translation takes us back to the last verse of James 1. Here's the expanded translation for as far as we have advanced. James 1:27. Pure and unpolluted religion in the presence of our God and Father is this, namely, to comfort and assist orphans and widows in their tribulation. Now, this is where we'll stop our study to resume on Wednesday evening. But I want to let you know what we're about to do now. Out in the hallway over the course of this month, we've been collecting items that have gone into these boxes out there in the hallway that are going to be distributed to homeless veterans and also other homeless people. We've been collecting contributions for the St. Louis Veterans Home, and things of that nature have been transpiring over the month. What we're going to do now is dismiss, and we're going to have lunch. And as soon as that lunch is over, we're going to have decorate. Is this the process, have lunch first and then decorate the houses? I got that right. A nodding of the head affirmed that. So you eat first, decorate the houses next. Now, Albert Sinclair is here, and I've met him. He is a veteran. And he is going to be here along with another person named Walter. I haven't met him yet. But you will be introduced to these two veterans in a little while. There's a poop sheet here about all that they've done, but I don't want to go through this here. It'd be better if we did it in their presence so you can not only know who they are, their names, and their achievements. So we're going to dismiss with a closing prayer. After that, we will sing a hymn, and I've got the number here somewhere. Number 85 is Silent Night. After that, then, we'll go have lunch. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity and privilege of studying these things today, which alert us to our responsibilities in time. These responsibilities require of us to acquire your thinking in our souls for the prospect of making application of these ideas in our personal lives. We thank you for the power that the Word of God gives us in order to follow your leading. And therefore, you lead us into these areas our volition must approve and then execute. We thank you for the guidance because it will advance us in your perfect plan to that area of spiritual advance to where we have escrow blessings conveyed at your evaluation tribunal. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for all of the things you provided us during this year, enabling us to continue our pursuit of truth. And we lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ, our Savior. Charis human kai irene, plethun thae in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu hemon. Now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Stand and sing all three verses of hymn number 85, which is Silent Night.